Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities in London. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. In this interview, Ben Rossiter, Executive Officer from the Australian walking promoting body Victoria Walks, accompanies Andrew Stuck on a walk from Covent Garden across the Thames on a snowy and wintry day in December 2010.
Now, Ben, you're originally from the UK.
Yeah, yes, I was born in Essex. Don't laugh. You're laughing.
So you're an Essex boy?
Yeah, I'm an Essex boy.
But how long have you been in Australia?
Since 1964.
But how did you get into being involved in health promotion and walking in particular?
Health promotion I initially got involved in because I went to work for a place called Vic Health in Victoria, which is the state's statutory body for health promotion, where I was responsible for active transport, walking and cycling. And what I did while I was there was worked with others and developed up the idea of Victoria Walks. But stepping back, I guess my interest in walking, which predates that, sort of stems back to ideas about public space in the Melbourne in the early to mid-1980s, working with people who lived on the streets. And I sort of got to think about ideas of, what is public space, what is home for people who live on the streets, so ideas of home and homeless, inside, outside, public, private, and it all came down to thinking about public space and how we can think about cities more productively and creatively than normally is the case. So it sort of stemmed from the idea of thinking the city in terms of people who always walk, who have to walk. That was my interest, and of course it's changed over time to now being more generally a walking promotion body, but it had its impetus started way back then.
So if you can sort of clear this up for listeners, because I think most listeners would think that Australia is such an extraordinarily open space area that everyone has, it's about the most densely populated in terms of cities on the coastal fringe,
yep.
And people live in suburbs and drive everywhere.
You've got that right. 90% of the Australian population lives in cities, but also about 90% of households have at least one car. So our cities, talking to someone in Britain last week saying how most of their town centres have not been designed for the car, made me think, well, most of our urban spaces increasingly are not designed for the pedestrian or for walkers. Our cities are frequently dominated by urban sprawl and they're car-dominated. We now have the situation where people live in what's called transport poverty, where forced car ownership, living out in the suburbs, having to have two cars, they can't afford to run, they might have to travel great distances to work, so there's an absence of local destinations relevant to their everyday life. So walking, if you like, for transport is very difficult in large areas of particularly the bigger cities.
And so it's the idea really with Victoria Walks is that more to get people to think about their personal health and see it as something that contributes to them, making them feel healthier and be healthier, rather than, considering trying to get them to walk more. For transport purposes.
Yes, it's a bit of a mix. I mean, we are set up to increase physical activity through walking particularly. I mean, that's, our reason for existence. But you can't just think, as I think your listeners know, you can't just think of walking in terms of a physical activity, but walking, the many benefits, whether it's physical, social, mental health. I mean, I think it goes beyond just the act of walking. It goes to the heart of the type of communities in which we want to live, with good quality, strong public spaces, with socially connected, strong communities. So it's about, in essence, about livability. It's about creating the type of urban spaces that draw you out and make you want to walk, because there's places to walk to, it's friendly, it's pleasurable, and it gets you out and about. So rather than just saying, look, you need to walk more if it's good for your health, it's about building the type of community that makes you walk, that you want to walk.
In Victoria State itself is a huge area.
But it only has a population of about 5 million people, of which the majority would live in Melbourne, the capital city. So, like Australia, only has a population of about 22 million. So it's not big population-wise, but it's massive geographically. And of course, a lot of the area is not populated, particularly in inner parts of Australia, where it's predominantly seen as desert, where the population density is extremely low.
So the work you're doing, is that focused on Melbourne and maybe three or four other major town centres, or is it...
it's focused statewide, it's all over Victoria, but in reality it's a new and small but growing organisation. Not so much concentrating our efforts in Melbourne, but a lot more of our efforts are happening in Melbourne because that's where a lot of our work seems to be generated. But we're very conscious of making ourselves known and relevant to people across Victoria. So we're working with some communities in Geelong, which is about 80 kilometres, about 50 miles from Melbourne, a couple down the coast there. We were working with a community in Wodonga, which is probably about 200 or so miles away.
So in terms of advocacy, what are you doing? Are you lobbying the state government and the federal government? How does it work in Australia?
Basically, Victoria's been set up with two purposes. One was to be, if you like, the statewide promotion body, and advocacy is the tool we use. So it might be influencing particularly state government. One thing you know, a few months ago, the state released a pedestrian access strategy, a walking for transport strategy, and those things are pretty rare with governments, I think, globally. So we were heavily involved and, I would say lobbying, but, lobbying for that to happen, and the government was receptive and has developed that up. So we do that sort of thing. We also work with local authorities, local councils. There's 79 of them around the state of Victoria, so we'll work with ones where we have the resources and opportunity to do that. We also look at developing resources, policy, trying to promote walking, but also walking issues in the media. And the second part, apart from those, if you like, more statewide activities, is trying to support local communities to take action to make their neighbourhoods safer and better for walking. So walking action groups or WAG, some of them do street parties, wayfinding, public art, just little things just to make their neighbourhood better for walking. So we're trying to promote and encourage those to set up around the state. Other things which are similar to some of the work that's been done in Britain. We're in the process of developing an online mapping utility so people can load, share and rate their favourite walks, or find out where the best walks are, might be in national parks. So we're not just urban, we're trying to promote walking more generally as a way of getting more people to walk, particularly for everyday purposes, which is both behaviour change but also infrastructure change, to get people to actually value and identify as walkers. Before, in Australia, the notion, if you like, walking advocacy is a relatively new concept as compared to England. So it's part of what we're trying to do is to, develop a mass supporter base, not just for Victoria Walks, but more importantly for walking more generally, and an appetite for change, so people will want change to happen and want to actually value and identify as walkers. And I know, talking to agencies in London this week, that's part of their challenge as well, is getting people to identify and value as walkers, something we all do. We walk, but we don't acknowledge that or value it as a community.
You've come over to London. On the way, you went to the Walk 21 conference,
which in Haag, which is fantastic. I've been to a few conferences in my time, but I've got to tell you, it was a real buzz just being there with hundreds of people brought together, with similar goals and focus, different approaches and different issues, but just getting there about walking and public space and livability, and it was fantastic to make those connections. And then I've come on to Britain to spend a week visiting family, but also, this morning I've just come from Living Streets and I've been to Sustrans and Walk England. And
now, I guess in Victoria you don't actually face that.
No, which is something which a couple of the organisations have kind of looked onto us rather enviously, because in some ways there is an element of a clean slate. So we're about filling a gap, but also in the process the gap seems to be becoming bigger. But there are some organisations we work with in the walking space, but it's nowhere near as developed as Britain. But Vic Health, our funding body, has been in physical activity, active transport for a while. The Heart Foundation in Australia has been very big in particularly developing resources for local authorities to improve the built environment for walking and cycling. And they also run the Heart Foundation Walking Connect Australia, which one of the key organisations in the Walk 21 conference in 2006 in Melbourne. So there are some organisations, but we're the only pure walking body. Where in England, yes, Britain, you do have a few of them, and meeting with people and finding out where everyone fits and what they all do, and has been a bit interesting. So with those organisations I've mentioned previously, I mean, we meet, not so much semi-formally every so often, and we're looking at how we'll, what we'll work together on, make sure on the key things we all have the same message, because, as governments like to get different messages.
Yeah.
So we're saying the different message, but also then we know hopefully what each other's working on, so we can support and each other's, I guess, campaigns or works. For instance, you know, the Heart Foundation's interest in physical activity, which might be walking and cycling. Cycling, per se, is not an interest of ours, so we're not going to get involved in cycling debates necessarily, apart from the impact on walking.
Yeah.
So we've been aware of that, but it's really about for the key issues where we can work together. And when I get back to Melbourne, we'll meet about the new pedestrian access strategy, and there's many fantastic actions in it which are unfunded. We had a change of government last week, so we'll get together to think about what will be the key things we can collectively or individually work on and promote together, rather than just trying to do our own thing. I think that's really important in any form of whatever the sector is, any form of advocacy.
Well, I brought you this way because I didn't know whether you'd walked across the Jubilee Bridge yet.
The day after we arrived, my five-year-old wanted to come and see Big Ben. And I said, here I am. But, so we came here, jumped off at Waterloo, and so we could walk across and have a bit of a look. So,
okay.
Yeah.
This has now become one of the most popular walk routes in London. I mean, the good news also that you've been on the Wobbly Bridge, which no longer wobbles.
Yeah.
But of course, that created a whole new footway because there hadn't been a bridge across there at all. And that also is just a dramatic showing of how you can create a new pedestrian route.
The one in Melbourne happened at the time of the Commonwealth Games, which connects from the main train station, Flinders Street, to the MCG, which is, you know, massive, holds 100,000 people. So it's better when across the old rail yards in the area, walking from Melbourne to East Melbourne, probably a kilometre or so. It's just a walk you really didn't do. And it's now become one of my favourite walks.
Brilliant.
Because, you know, with the kids, it has the tape music of going from different Indigenous cultures as you go across, different speakers going, and it really just takes you completely different and opens up a whole new area of Melbourne. So, you know, when there's a sporting event, it's massive. But at other times, there's just people wandering across day or night. And, I think people underestimate the importance of spending money, you know, on such infrastructure. And they don't compare it to the infrastructure we spend on cars. And they should, because it costs nothing in comparison. Even if it's millions and millions of pounds, it's still nothing compared to the amount we spend on infrastructure for cars. And the long-term impact of that infrastructure is a heck of a lot more costly in terms of, you know, chronic diseases.
Can you just explain to us, with Vic Walks, which are the target audiences that you're targeting?
The primary target audience, which in some ways is, I guess, the holy grail of walking bodies, is parents of school-aged children. So look at ways we can get children not just walking to school, but really walking as a part of their everyday lives. So it's probably walking or cycling or playing outside, playing in the streets. It's termed now children's independent mobility, but I just like to think of it as what we used to do. And I think, so parents definitely, not just kids or schools, but actually the whole family. The other one, we're going to look at workplaces, what we can do to increase walking-related activities to do with work. A lot of people in Victoria or Australia live too far to walk to and from work, but how we can increase that level of walking around, at taking the stairs at work, all those sort of things. But then get that to be a part of people's lives, so it's something that they'll take back and incorporate into their lives. Probably the next audience would be seniors, looking at ways we can get people to keep walking and keep active as they're ageing. I don't think seniors is not a very nice term.
So we call it the silver tsunami. I'm one of the people riding that wave already.
Yeah. I guess, but at the same time, for a new organisation, it's important for us to try where we can, with limited resources, have broad appeal, and also take the wins where you can get them as well. So,
are Victorians, are they like Londoners? I mean, Londoners walk quite a bit, but we also are pretty unhealthy. We smoke and drink and eat fast food, and we're getting overweight.
61% of Australian adults are now overweight and obese. More disturbingly is 25% of children are now overweight or obese, which really belies the image, I think, that people have of Australia as these fit, active, down-the-beach type of people. No, unfortunately, that's not the reality.
So one in four kids?
Overweight or obese, yeah.
My
obese
God.
Is probably, I think it's 6 to 8% are obese, but overweight or obese. So yes, it's a similar sort of thing. So definitely diet, physical activity, so it's type 2 diabetes, heart disease, so on. And it's not just immediate, it's long term.
Now, what about the drivers? Yeah. You know, obviously a large proportion of people driving. Are they pedestrian aware. How's street safety or pedestrian safety?
Not really good. I mean, we have had, in the state of Victoria, in 1989 there was 160 pedestrians killed on our roads. It's now down to an average of about a year, now down to about 50. Now, part of the reason for that is, yes, we've had some great road safety campaigns and we've led that, I think, went up there internationally. But the trouble is, a lot of it, I think, is had at the expense of pedestrians. Trying to explain it, our road authority has one of its key performance indicators is reducing pedestrian casualties, which they've done, but what I feel is they've done that at the expense of pedestrians. They've done it effectively, possibly not consciously, but by getting rid of pedestrians.
Right.
The state's road safety strategy centres on things like stopping pedestrians, people breaking the law by crossing illegally and fining, or pedestrian fencing. Just, you know, those sort of infrastructure, which effectively makes an environment unfriendly, if not hostile, to walk in. So there's that. We also, I think, that we share with Britain, we have a low standard of duty of care, having just come from, say, the Netherlands, where, you know, if a driver hits a car or cyclist, the onus is on them to prove they're not at fault. I think culturally we have a thing where if the speed limit's 60, you're travelling at 59 and you hit a pedestrian, well, you know, you were obeying the law, it's not really your fault. And I think that's it's a major challenge culturally, but also legally.
You've had a bit of time. Would you like to tell us about a couple of walks that you'd like to recommend to people?
Yeah, closer to where I live. It's an interesting one because the walk I just spoke about, which is from Flinders Street Station, where there's some, if you get to Melbourne, there's a big mural on the wall by one of our famous living artists, Mirka Moyer. And walking from there, then going across the back of Federation Square, which is a new public space. And there's a lot of public art along the way. Goes down the Yarra, the main river. And there's a children's art play area and playground if you've got kids. But it's just, I like that area because never appears to be just a kids area, even though I've got young kids. I don't like playgrounds which are separated for kids. I like good quality public spaces where, you know, kids and other people can go, not separated and fenced. And then walking to the G's. That's obviously a favourite one. But, you know, I doubt many listeners, if any, will know this, but I like my neighbourhood walks. I like, you know, in my area in Northcote, there's one of the streets next to me, a street called Barry Street. One of the local residents, who was a gardener, did a little mosaic tile about probably 18 inches by 18 inches and stuck it on her nature strip outside a footpath. And through that, other residents then got a bit of an interest, and they started in a street which has probably got about 60 or 80 houses. A lot of residents have now had community, you know, smashing up tiles day and built their own mosaics embedded. So you get a bit of a story as you walk along the street, and it stops people and people start to talk. I like those sort of things which, when you're walking, whether it's young or old, that you can just, you know, a sense of people's ownership of the space makes it much more pleasurable. And I don't think it's just because I live there. I think when I walk along there, people seem to say g'day more and more friendly. So I like those little, not grand walks, just the little everyday little hidden gems you can find in your own neighbourhood or somewhere else's.
And are you an enthusiastic walker yourself? Do you walk every day? And you've obviously talked about taking the children out.
I'm not a go for a half an hour walk around the park sort of person. I'm more built it into my everyday life. But to work, I ride a bicycle because I'm a bit too far to walk much time. I don't have a car, which is fortunately becoming more popular, particularly for people with young kids. So it's public transport a lot, particularly on weekends and trains, and combining with walking. But I cycle to and from work because it takes about 15 minutes on the bike. I no longer do overnight hiking because I have a back problem, so I can't carry the weight. But I've always done grew up doing a lot of bushwalking and stuff with kids. So an interest in that sort of walking, but it's merely the urban areas where, you know, the chance encounters, the, you know, exciting little things. That's what the stuff which draws me out more. I do like sometimes the more, not discarded, but, you know, the places that might be popular where you can just, you know, see little things. I think we need to sometimes walk in urban spaces and explore them as does a child. When young children walk around, they discover things anew. Everything's new and fresh. I think that's a way of engaging with the world. We can have something to learn from, and, you know, sometimes slow down, smell the roses, stop and say g'day. So that's kind of how I like to engage with urban space.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities in London. In this episode, you've heard from Ben Rossiter. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the talkingwalking.net website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities Limited. Our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of Easytronic.